Well, welcome back to the show. Really, really excited to have our next guest here in person with us. It's Senator Kevin Hertel, Michigan's 12th Senate District. Senator Hertel, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be with you, and it's always exciting on State of the State Day.
So, I want to jump right in because I got some late-breaking news or maybe early-breaking news that there might be some announcements and some investment and some discussion about Selfridge Air Force Base.
I think you got the breaking news about the same time I did, but we are excited to see the governor continuing to talk about Selfridge Air National Guard Base. This has been an ongoing project that I've been working on since my time in the State House to make sure we are attracting a future fighter mission at that base. Selfridge provides over 600 direct jobs on the base, not counting the economic impact in the region, and close to $1 billion in the region as well, and even more statewide when you look at how it contributes to our defense corridor and everything else here in the state of Michigan. And so it really is critical to our economy. It's critical to the families that are on the base, and it's deeply critical to my community where the base is located.
That's great news. I'm sure Mark and his team, Vicky and JP, are happy about that.
We've been working really closely with the county. County Executive Hackle is really engaged in this project. And, you know, the state has put in about $32 million so far towards this project. What we're looking at in this budget year is another $26 million to upgrade that base, move the runway, and make sure we can attract a future mission there.
Fantastic. So, big last couple of weeks, amazing collaboration, bipartisan work on the minimum wage and sick time act. Not what everybody wanted, but a lot of what everybody wanted, too. But you were a big part of that.
Yeah, and sometimes when you get to the policy where it's not exactly what everybody wants, you know you probably got to the right place.
Right.
When everybody walks away, nobody's exactly cheering. But we, you know, I think we did great work. Sometimes in this town, bipartisan work is getting harder and harder to find, that compromise. And that's something that I come to work every single day trying to find. Where can I work with my colleagues, whether it's on my side of the aisle, across the aisle, to create good policy? And I think too often we're seeing people put the politics first and the policy second. We see that definitely on social media. It plays out every single day. We really got to get to putting the policy first and realizing the impact it will have. And if we didn't act, the impact would have been, I believe, really negative for small businesses across our community and for workers across our community. And so I think we got to a place where everybody will be able to still operate their small businesses in a successful way. Workers will be protected as well, and we can move forward in a positive fashion.
What a novel idea, putting the people first. Thank you.
I wish it happened more in this town, but I try to do it every day.
Senator, you're starting your second half of your first Senate term, but now the Republicans have taken over the House. And as the chair of the Health Policy Committee, do you have a different scope of legislative ideas that you're working on now that the House is back in Republican control?
You know, the great thing about the Health Policy Committee is a lot of the work that we do is not partisan, right? The public health of our state, making sure we're focusing on mental health resources for our youth, making sure we're responding to the opioid and the fentanyl epidemic that we're seeing across all of our communities. Those are things we can work together on, and my office right now is working on a strategic plan to respond and really adopt some of the recommendations we've seen in recent years from the Opioid Advisory Commission to respond to that crisis. And we will roll something out here soon and try to move that through the legislature and work in a bipartisan way with my colleagues to get it done.
And just picking up on that, we hear from young people, actually people of all ages, that mental health and we need more investment there and help there. And we have done a lot of things in the last year or two in the state. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we've made significant investments in recent budgets to add more facilities to
right.
help our youth especially, but really across the board. Every citizen of Michigan deal with the mental health issues that we've seen across the state. Part of that is making sure we're increasing access to outpatient services as well as inpatient services for those who need them. But what I really focus on is how do we provide these services to our youth in a way that gives them the tools to deal with this later in life. So a lot of the problems we're seeing across our communities today are simply because we didn't do that for young people maybe of my generation or sooner. If we can give young people the tools today, it will pay dividends throughout their lifetime, not only for them. It will benefit all of our communities as well.
What are you hoping to hear tonight?
Well, I was really focused on Selfridge, and so we've already seen that. Spoiler. And I'm glad that that will be in the speech. I think, you know, I'm looking for the governor to talk about, you know, some of these ideas of reducing red tape and making permitting easy across the state so that we can bring more businesses here and grow businesses here in the state of Michigan, provide jobs for people across all of our communities. And I'm always looking, because of my role in, as a health policy chair, for a focus on public health. One of the things that I'm really focused on right now is the potential cuts to Medicaid that we're seeing from the federal level, and realizing how big of a portion of our state budget that is and how many people that helps, but also how it keeps rural hospitals and nursing homes open across the state. And so we want to focus on how those decisions will impact us here in the state and what we're going to need to do to make sure we can continue to offer those services.
You know, you touched on something interesting. I'm from the UP, and Terry hears about me talk about that all the time, but rural health care is going to be really essential to the growth of Michigan and the population growth too. So I'm glad you touched on that.
Everybody needs access to health care, right? Whether you're in one of our major cities or in a rural area. And what we've seen is health care across the board, especially with staffing and providing services, become a challenge since the pandemic. But it's become more of a challenge in rural areas, and that's something we really have to focus on so that everybody has access to good care here in the state.
Senator, you're a Democrat in an increasingly red Macomb County. So how do you manage that? How do you manage that dynamic and balance between policy and politics?
I always focus on the policy first. You know, that directly impacts the residents that I serve, and I think that's what they sent me here to do. But I will say we have frequent coffee hours. We've had two in the last 2 weeks. Record turnout from people across our community that are coming. They want to engage with their elected officials on all sorts of different issues. We keep an open mind, but we also keep an open door with our constituents and make sure we're always communicating. When I ran for this office, we knocked over 70,000 doors across the district. And just this last summer, even though I wasn't on the ballot, we knocked 20,000 doors. We always are communicating with the folks that I am proud to represent and understanding the impact of the decisions that we make here in Lansing. What that impact is on the residents that we serve, I think, is a crucial part of doing this job, and you can only do that if you have that open line of communication.
So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what the business community can do to better communicate with you and your constituent, your peers. You have people in your offices, you hear from them, but How can the business community communicate better with you?
Well, I'll tell you, we have a policy in my office that we take any meeting that's asked for.
Okay.
Whether that's a constituent, whether that's a business organization, we want to have every single conversation that we can have to understand the direction that we need to move in. And some of those individuals that we have conversation with, we might disagree, but I think it's really important that even when we do disagree, we have honest and open conversation, and we disagree in a manner that we can still move forward and work together on issues. You know, I'm focused on making sure that we have policy here in the state that is attractive to business, that we can bring people here. That's how we create jobs for people within our communities.
Right. I mean, that drives everything.
That's right.
Senator Kevin Hertel, Michigan's 12th Senate District, thank you so much for stopping by. We really appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks.
You're listening to Focus on WJR.